Welcome to the news with NDTV. It's Tuesday, May 7th. In today's episode, updates from the third phase of voting for Lok Sabha elections. Former Congress spokesperson Ragini Khera joins BJP a day after alleging harassment by Congress. Priyank Kharge accuses BJP of bribing voters. Supreme Court's stern questions for Enforcement Directorate in Arvind Kejriwal bail case. Supreme Court traps celebrities and broadcasters for misleading ads. And Israel's Rafah incursion. First up, 50.2% voter turnout was recorded till 5 p.m. in the third phase of Lok Sabha elections, according to tentative data from Election Commission sources. 1,331 candidates are fighting for 93 seats across 11 states and union territories. Voting in a single phase is underway across Gujarat, Goa, Dadra and Nagar Haveli, and Daman and Diu, while it is Assam, Chhattisgarh, Goa and Karnataka's last phase for 2024. Gujarat, with all 26 seats, had the highest number of seats and candidates. However, voting today is only for 25 seats, as Surat's BJP candidate Mukesh Dalal has won by default after 8 candidates withdrew their nominations, while Congress's nomination was rejected by the Election Commission. The biggest faces being tested today include Amit Shah, Jyotiraditya Sindhya, Shivraj Singh Chauhan from BJP, and Digvijay Singh, Supriya Sule and Dimple Yadav from the joint Opposition India bloc. In Bengal, a group of women in Malda boycotted the polls today over lack of development, news agency ANI reported. Though the polls have been largely peaceful, sporadic incidents of violence were reported in 4 constituencies in West Bengal, as Trinamool, BJP and Congress workers clashed with each other in various parts of Murshidabad and Jangipur seats. Before heading to polls today, Congress's Bhupesh Baghel told NDTV, and I quote, "He even went to Mangalsutra, to cows, to buffaloes. The Prime Minister does not want to talk about any real issues," unquote. Mr. Baghel also alleged that the recent defection of Ragini Khera was orchestrated by the Bharatiya Janata Party. Ms. Khera, in a press conference yesterday, leveled some serious allegations against the Congress Party and its leaders. Today, she has officially joined the Bharatiya Janata Party. But before the official announcement, Mr. Baghel claimed everything was scripted by the BJP. She knew what they wanted her to say. And he knew that she was going to join BJP. In other election development, Congress leader and party chief Mallikarjun Kharge's son, Priyank Kharge, has leveled serious allegations against the BJP Karnataka unit today. He posted on X, and I quote, "BJP Karnataka is indeed taking PM Modi's digital payment mission to the next level. BJP is bribing voters directly using PhonePe in Sedam and Chittarpur constituencies," unquote. Adding, they have filed a complaint with more evidence of such transactions to the Election Commission. Another complaint has been filed by NCP Sharad Pawar against Nationalist Congress Party Ajit Pawar faction MLA Dattatraya Bharne, who is allegedly seen threatening their party workers in Indapur with abuses and intimidation in a now viral video on social media. In Bengal, the Trinamool Congress has complained against the Election Commission for delayed release of voter turnout percentages for Phase 1 and 2 of the Lok Sabha polls, which were on April 19th and 26th, but the poll panel revealed the final tally on April 30th. In a letter to the commission, the TMC claims, and I quote, "The report has no information about the total number of eligible electors and the actual votes cast. This is a paradigm shift from the previous voter turnout reports from past elections, where the ECI provided a detailed report in this regard," unquote. The party also flagged a 5% increase in Phase 1 turnout between April 19th and April 30th numbers. And next, the Supreme Court today posed tough questions for the Enforcement Directorate during the hearing of jailed Delhi Chief Minister Arvind Kejriwal's plea challenging his arrest by the ED in the alleged liquor policy scam case. The bench of Justices Sanjeev Khanna and Dipankar Datta presided over the matter and asked the Enforcement Directorate why the probe had taken 2 long years. The bench said it is only considering the possibility of a bail plea, as these are extraordinary circumstances, as the Lok Sabha elections are going on and Mr. Kejriwal is an elected official. ED's counsel, ASG S.V. Raju, countered it, saying even voting rights do not stand in judicial custody. The court said, and I quote, "We make it clear, we don't want you to be performing official duties if we release you. We don't want any interference in the functioning of the government," unquote. Mr. Kejriwal's counsel, Abhishek Manu Singhvi, agreed to sign a draft confirming that Mr. Kejriwal shall not sign any official documents. ED opposed the sentiment strongly, saying it sets a wrong precedent. Quote, are other people less important? There can't be any deviation only because he's a chief minister. Are we carving out exceptions for politicians? Unquote. The court affirmed that the law is not different for politicians, but the larger picture, the arrest right before Lok Sabha commenced, has to be considered. When ASG Raju said it was unfortunate, the bench said, quote, we do not want any murmurs or any comments, unquote. In the opening statement, ASG Raju commented on a scam worth Rs. 1100 crore. Justice Khanna asked, the early allegations claimed a Rs. 100 crore scam. Quote, how did it become 1100 crores in 2 or 3 years? That will be a phenomenal rate of return, unquote, he asked. ASG Raju explained some amounts of profits for others. The justice replied, quote, difference was about 338 crores. Entire thing cannot be proceeds of a crime, unquote. The court has asked ED to show all previous case diaries, including the statements from approvers or others questioned in the case, even before Mr. Kejriwal's name came up. The court has given time to ED to prepare their statements against the bail and time to Mr. Kejriwal to show why the bail is necessary. They will take up the matter again on Thursday. And next, taking a firm stand on the issues of misleading advertisements, the Supreme Court has said that celebrities and social media influencers are equally liable if the commercial for the product or service featuring them is found to be deceptive. In the Patanjali Ayurveda misleading advertisements case hearing, a bench of Justices Hima Kohli and A. Amanullah said, quote, we are of the opinion that the advertisers or the advertising agencies or endorsers are equally responsible for issuing false and misleading advertisements, unquote. The bench emphasized that ministries need to set up procedures to encourage the consumer to lodge a complaint and then it is taken to its logical conclusion instead of, quote, simply being endorsed or marked, unquote. Until that happens, the court ordered broadcasters to file a self-declaration form before carrying any advertisement, stating that the commercial complies with the relevant rules and codes. The two-judge bench said, and I quote, as a remedy, we deem it appropriate to direct that a self-declaration be obtained before any advertisement is permitted. Self-declaration is to be obtained for advertisement on the lines of 1994 Cable TV Network Rules, Advertising Code, etc., unquote. Breaking from breaking news, many people would have witnessed a loss in the share market on Monday. But Rekha Jhunjhunwala, the wife of late investor Rakesh Jhunjhunwala, lost a massive 800 crore rupees as Tata-owned Titan tanked. Titan also happens to be the largest investment in the Jhunjhunwala family's portfolio. With a 5.53% stake, Ms. Jhunjhunwala's holding was worth Rs. 16,792 crore per Friday's closing. But Titan fell 7% yesterday, essentially cleaning over Rs. 22,000 crore from its market cap. The decline reduced the worth of Ms. Jhunjhunwala's Titan stake to around Rs. 15,986 crore, according to Hindustan Times. Now, back to news. Israel has taken operational control of the Palestinian side of the Rafah border crossing between Gaza and Egypt, the Israeli army claimed today. This comes a day after Hamas agreed to a ceasefire deal with Israel, introduced by Qatari and Egyptian mediators. So far, 34,789 people have been killed and over 78,200 wounded in Israeli attacks on Gaza since October 7th, according to Palestinian Health Ministry. The death toll in Israel from Hamas's October 7 attacks stands at 1,139, with dozens of people still held captive. Israeli officials claim they were blindsided by the alleged new elements in the ceasefire deal, which Hamas yesterday announced it agrees with. They also claim the US government was aware of these changes, which are quite far from Israel's demand, an Axios report states. The Rafah invasion has been criticized by international entities and countries. Turkish Vice President wrote on X, quote, by carrying out a ground attack on Rafah just a day after Hamas approved Qatar and Egypt's proposal for a ceasefire deal, Israel has added another to the war crimes it has committed in Palestinian territories since October 7th, unquote. Before its ground offensive, Israel had ordered nearly 1 lakh people from Rafah to evacuate to safe zones. Notably, before its attack on Gaza, Israel had deemed Rafah as a safe zone to evacuate. An Israeli government statement reads, quote, Overnight, IDF ground troops began a precise counter-terrorism operation based on IDF and ISA intelligence to eliminate Hamas terrorists and dismantle Hamas terrorist infrastructure within specific areas of eastern Rafah, unquote. Meanwhile, the United Nations say the Israeli authorities have denied access to the Rafah crossing into southern Gaza, adding that all aid and stocks are dangerously low in the region. Rafah is home to close to 1 million refugees who escaped from Gaza. And lastly, conservation efforts are making a significant difference in protecting the planet's biodiversity, according to a new study published in the journal Science. In an analysis of 186 studies covering 665 trials, researchers evaluated the impact of conservation interventions globally over the past century. In 2/3 of the cases, conservation actions either improved biodiversity or slowed its decline. Jake Bicknell, co-author of the paper and a conservation scientist at University of Kent, said, quote, "Our study shows that when conservation actions work, they really work. In other words, they often lead to outcomes for biodiversity that are not just a little bit better than doing nothing at all, but many times greater," unquote. That's all for today. You were listening to The News with NDTV, your daily newspaper and TV bulletin wrapped in a compact podcast. If you want to catch up with the day's events in a hurry, do remember to subscribe to The News with NDTV on Apple, Spotify and the NDTV News app. This is your host Anviti, signing off.